Welcome to Negotiating Happiness, the show that helps you find happiness, success, and balance in your work and life. I'm Adriana Fierster, your host for this journey into entrepreneurship and personal growth. We're broadcasting live on 107.7 and 105.3 FM in New Orleans as part of the United Public Radio Network. We explore the latest strategies, insights, and stories from successful entrepreneurs and experts. From managing stress to building a thriving business, we've got you covered. Good afternoon, everybody. It is April 8th, 2024. I cannot believe it. This is your host, Adriana Fierstro, and you are listening to Negotiating Happiness. We are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in the beautiful city of New Orleans. If you wanted to sit back and watch some of our other shows, make sure you check us out on Roku TV. You just have to look for the UFO Paranormal channel. Welcome, everybody. It is lunchtime, depending on where you are. Please grab your coffee, grab your lunch, and just listen in. And just remember that we are live, so please come in with any questions or comments you may have. We will feature and answer all of your questions. I am here today with the lovely Rosemary. Hello, Rosemary.
Hi, Adriana.
How's it going?
It's amazingly for a Monday.
That's what everybody says, right, when they come on? So let's do a quick intro here. I just got welcomed Rosemary. She is the CEO of marketing and sales at Royal Door Limited and the founder of the podcast Only Women Entrepreneurs. We will be discussing her entrepreneurship journey, founding a charity, a podcast, supporting women entrepreneurs. I'm really excited to dive in. So here's a little bit of a bio so that everybody gets to know Rosemary a little bit better. So she was a former high school English teacher who decided to drastically alter her career path and enter the world of manufacturing at a family-owned and operated business called Royal Door Limited in Vaughan, Ontario, Canada. And it was established in 1975. There, she worked for over 30 years where she learned the art of crafting handmade wood interior and exterior doors for major retailers across the country, builders, designers, and architects. Rosemary's doors have made their way in construction and renovation magazines, Netflix TV shows, HGTV, my favorite, and Hollywood movies. She later assumed the role of Chief Executive Officer of Marketing and Sales, where she's helped develop Royal Door as a premier provider of high-quality door and trim solutions. With commitment to excellence and customer satisfaction, they specialize in manufacturing and delivering top-notch products and services tailored to meet the unique needs of residential and commercial clients throughout Canada. Royal Door Limited has been a trusted name in the industry for 49 years, and they pride themselves on their reliability, professionalism, and craftsmanship, making them the preferred choice for discerning customers. And beyond her contributions to the manufacturing world, Rosemary is also the founder of Brandon's Eye Research Foundation, which is a non-for-profit organization dedicated to supporting clinical care and research activities in the field of vision health. Since its inception in 2004, the foundation has raised over $3 million, making a significant impact on the lives of countless individuals and families. If Rosemary is not working at Royal Door or raising funds for her charity, Brandon's Eye Research Foundation, she is passionate about helping other women entrepreneurs with their business vision through her mentoring and consulting company called OWE, short for Only Women Entrepreneurs. Here, her mission is to provide business and personal development coaching to empower women entrepreneurs to excel in their business or nonprofits, helping them to challenge and overcome societal stereotypes in male-dominated industries. And what we'll be doing is we'll be posting links throughout the show. So if anybody wants to check out more, we'll make those available. I'll post it in the chat as well. So Rosemary, thank you so much for coming on today.
Adriana, thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you for the wonderful bio and all my accomplishments. So I'm ready. Let's get started.
I can't wait. You've got such a wonderful background for a very diverse career background. So when we first started chatting about you coming on the show, I was very excited because I really, really want people to not shy away from doing this wonderful thing called entrepreneurship just because they have, you know, they're not sure what they want to do, or they want to change careers for a third time, or you are kind of the perfect guest to let them know that they can jump from one thing to another and be successful at doing it.
That's for sure.
So how about you tell us a little bit about, you know, how do you balance all of this? Because I think that's the first question that people think about, right? So it's very demanding. You also have a family, and, you know, you're a CEO, you're a founder, you're this and that. I love it. I love it all. But I want you to tell us a little bit about how you make it work.
Okay. I can't deny the fact that I am busy, because I've got a lot of initiatives. But what I do to ensure that I give my proper attention to all my initiatives is I have to, first of all, prioritize my tasks. Okay, what's important? Right. What do I need to get done each and every day? And then I set time limits. How much time is that going to take? The other thing is I review them and I say, well, is it something that someone else can do? So I delegate responsibility. So I have team members in my various organizations that help me with multiple tasks so that I am not spread thin. So that actually helps develop a great team, and it also gives them a little bit of empowerment where I can trust them. They're my right-hand individuals, and they're able to make decisions on my behalf because they are very clear on what my goals are. And we have an open communication where we meet regularly for each organization, and we just lay down a nice roadmap as to what needs to be done and how we're going to proceed it. And then I get feedback from them. Hey, Rosemary, you know, this is what came up with that task. So these are the things I'm thinking about, and we discuss them. And then once we've come up with a resolution, they go out and they, you know, act on my behalf. So that helps me out tremendously. The other thing that helps me out is being extremely organized. Okay, so, and that means knowing my deadlines, knowing my meetings, my commitments. And you can use, whether you use a journal where you write everything down, or you can use technology, you plug everything. For me, I use Outlook, and I know what's going on any given day. And I know how much time I have per task. And then I do get reminders saying, hey, you have to move on to the next task. So I also have to be flexible and adaptive, because sometimes, or a lot of times, things don't go out as planned. So when you get a hiccup in the road, a bump in the road, you have to quickly pivot and figure out how to handle the situation. You just can't blow it off. So we have emergency steps or procedures or a plan B to help when we do have obstacles or a different direction.
So what you're saying is that planning is key. At the same time, also be flexible. I love that. Yes. I love that, because a lot of the times I think business owners go in with the idea that they just have to be flexible without any plan in place. And that usually ends up disastrous when, you know, too many things stack up, because there is no contingency plan. There is no, you know, what if you're not there? So I do love the fact that you mentioned your team members. You know, if you are lucky enough to have team members, they're such a great resource. And, you know, without them, you would be beyond busy as well, right? So that makes sense. So in your experience, I think this is where a lot of business owners struggle with team members is, you know, communication is so important, but there's also a fine line, right? What do you communicate? What do you not? Is there timing? Is there, you know, what's involved in this? How would you approach this if it was a new business owner that had a fairly new team?
Well, a new business owner, first of all, there's lots to learn, okay, from that aspect. First of all, communication is going to be the key. That's going to actually make or break your business, because if you can't articulate to your team how you envision your business, what your goals are and the steps towards getting to those goals, then you're going to have a ship with no captain. So you got to be that captain. You have to set the course and you have to guide it. Another analogy I like to use is if you are planning to backpack to Europe, you just don't pick up and go, right? You have to research it. You have to figure out a budget. You have to figure out a roadmap, where you want to go, where you're going to stay. And business is the same way. So once you have that roadmap, then you have to clearly articulate that to your team. And then your team has to be broken down to who, according to their strengths, who is good at what. And then from there, you have to delegate and say, hey, Adriana, you know what? I think you're really good at marketing. And I think you will be able to help us out in promoting our product. You have great customer relationships. So a person like you will be given those type of responsibilities. And then you would report back to me as to how you envision getting, you know, the marketing plan set up. So that in a way does a lot of things for your team. A, it builds confidence and self-reliance and independence. And it also gives them a sense of worth that, you know what, my employer trusts me with these decisions. And if I make great decisions, you know what, we prosper as a team. And you need to communicate that, not only with the one person, the team member you're working with, but that message has to be brought across to your whole team, that everyone's a valuable individual and it's a team effort. And with your skills, you're only going to make us better. And that's what leads to growth down the line.
That's right. I love that answer. And how was it being in such a male dominated industry? How did you feel at first and in the middle and now? Give us the whole journey.
Well, you know, leaving the teaching profession, which was primarily women back in the day, like I taught in the early 90s, to going into the family business of manufacturing wood doors, totally male dominated, our sales representatives, our production staff, our clients, like there were very few women in between. And my father-in-law said, you know what, just give it a year. Okay. My confidence when I left the profession was about yay big. And the reason why it was so small was I was entering a very uncomfortable zone in my life because I didn't have experience. I didn't have knowledge. I didn't have any expertise. How on earth am I going to be able to work here? And his answer was quite simple. It's like, you know what? Confidence, it's a skill. It's something that you have to learn. It's just like when we're babies. When we're babies and we're born, we don't know anything. You know, we don't know what sleep is. We don't know how to eat. We don't know how to talk. We don't know how to read. So if you take the time to learn all of those skills, then you'll be able to learn the skills here. So let me take you under my wing. So my father-in-law, my husband, they were my greatest mentors. And they said, you have to start on the production floor, which was just so humbling. Because it was all men, they were all skilled craftsmen. And I knew nothing. I couldn't even read a tape measure. I didn't even know what type of woods we dealt with. So every day it was a learning experience. So I took my strengths from teaching and I applied it to my new situation. And my strengths were communication, articulating, not being afraid to ask questions. I had to know the why of everything. So this helped me acquire the new skills of producing products. So I went from a university educated individual as a teacher to a master artisan in woodworking, where not only could I can produce our doors, I've created new designs for our public consumption. And I can also scout out problems with production. And the other thing is, I became a valuable team player. And I knew that I had to be a contributing member because my teammates would not have taken me seriously if I didn't learn all the attributes of the door making phase, if I didn't contribute to our weekly meetings, because we would talk about production, how to make things better, how to make things faster. In fact, I was getting so confident that I streamlined a couple of things in production where I introduced some shortcuts that didn't jeopardize quality, enhance quality, and actual expedited production, to the point where we secured contracts for the movie industry. So when a producer for a Netflix series calls at 7:30 in the morning and they say, hey, we're filming in Toronto and we need this product today, how fast can you get it? Well, we can get it on site within 2 hours. And that was from my innovation.
Amazing.
And that happened because I patiently learned all the steps, all the tasks. It wasn't something that was given to me. I had to, like I said, humble myself and be able to learn and practice day in and day out until I mastered it.
Yeah, and I think this is also kind of a really good lesson to remember. So when you do get to the top and when you do have a team and you've developed so much, you kind of have to remember that, because there's a possibility that you can be disconnected at some point, right, from all of this. You have to remember that you need to go back to the basics and still understand, you know, on a granular level how it all works, even though you have somebody else that's doing all of this for you. It's such a good lesson to keep in mind that, you know, you have to understand the ins and outs. And if you don't, you tend to make poor decisions, right? Because you're at the top. But that's such a great story to know that you basically started where everybody else starts, right? And you've kind of worked your way up. And the whole comment that you made about, you know, people taking you seriously, I think this is the first thing that most women mention when you ask them about their experiences in these male dominated roles, about how, you know, you're not being taken seriously, or you're not doing this or doing that. So that is definitely a struggle and a challenge. And I've said it many times on this show that women do face different challenges in mm-hmm. in whichever industries they're in. And this is why it's important to have mentors, coaches, leaders that deal specifically with these challenges, just like men face different challenges than us in different aspects. The same thing applies. So that's a really wonderful story. And it's not my first time hearing it, so I enjoy hearing it every time because it really shows, you know, it shows dedication and it shows courage, because you decided that, hey, I'm going to give this a try, even though this is totally out of my comfort zone. And that's exactly what entrepreneurship is all about, mm-hmm. because if it was comfortable, everybody would do it, right?
That's right.
If it was easy, then everybody would be an entrepreneur, business owner, and it's not. But at the same time, we want to hear these stories to make sure that people don't get discouraged thinking that it's impossible. It's not impossible. You just kind of have to put some elbow grease into it, you know?
Absolutely. You know, it's I would be telling you a lie if I didn't say it is hard. And you need the dedication and you need to go out every single day and learn something. It's not something that's static. New information mm-hmm. is available each and every day, and you use your team to learn from them because they bring in their strengths. And together with the combined strengths, that's where you will excel. Your company will excel. Bring in people with various specialties, and you work with them and you share your specialties with them so that everybody is well-rounded. Because just looking at my experience, there's not one thing in our production facility that I can't do. And that is so important, because like you said earlier, if you're at the top, a lot of the new staff, they're unaware that you started at the bottom. But then when you walk in and you inspect the quality of the work and you tell them, you know what, I just want to show you something that could make your job a little easier. And when you demonstrate, you're also leading, and they pick mm-hmm. up ideas mm-hmm. so that they see, well, you know what, my boss can do it. So that means she knows something. So they gain confidence from you because you have that confidence.
Right. And that's one way of nurturing your team, right? What other ways do you implement? Because I mean, that's a wonderful way. There's a lot of people in their jobs that don't experience that kind of connection with the people at the top. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's an amazing way to show leadership and to show faith and trust and, you know, kind of instill confidence in you as a leader, right? Because, yes. you know, hey, she knows what she's talking about. She's done this before and she's not just at the top. She understands. So how else do you nurture that for your team?
Well, I have managers at various levels. Like I have warehouse manager, I have a manager for inside sales, outside sales. We have a manager in productivity, and they have their teams. Okay, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I meet regularly with the managers. And we talk about things. So that's the first step that leads towards nurturing, to address any issues or concerns that the management team has so that they have that clear direction of roles, expectations, and they're the ones that speak directly to their team members, team. Right?
Yeah.
Then three times a year, I will take each and every employee and speak to them. Why do I speak to them? Because I want them to see the human side of me. That just because I'm in an office and you don't see me on a regular basis doesn't mean that I don't know you're there. I know you're there. I know how hard you're working, and I give them that recognition mm-hmm. and I go over all their strengths. I talk to them with respect to, so where do you want to see yourself in a year, in 5 years? Do you see this company as your future? Do you want to retire here? So how can I help you achieve your goals? Mm-hmm. And they relay that message to you. Some of them will say, well, I want to start at this department, but I want to end up getting to this other department. So you relay that message to the manager, and the manager ensures that there's resources, there's education, there's training, and there's some development so that individual can grow within the company and move into their quote unquote dream job.
Yeah, I think feedback is so important, and sometimes business owners get so wrapped up into the day-to-day, you know, business and doing the work and doing all the work with the clients that feedback with your employees, your team falls through the cracks. And, you know, it might be fine for a year, might be fine for 2 years, but eventually it catches up and then it kind of disintegrates that confidence that you're trying to build, right? Because you're not getting any sort of feedback, or they may be completely on a different, you know, different wavelength than you are on what's exactly. going on. So that's super important. I like that. And I guess how do you find that how do I say this? Like, how, I mean, obviously you as a person, you bounce from, you know, your being a CEO to the charity, to your podcast and your consulting. Do those mix at all? You know, do you have your team members? Do they know about all that? Like, how do you handle all of that?
They're all intertwined.
Oh yeah.
So, because for me, those are all accomplishments. Right. And I am a role model at our organization, not only for my family, but also everyone that works for us. Because if they see you doing other things, like, for example, working for a charity, they not necessarily have to come and volunteer at our charity. But if they volunteered some of their time giving back, helping other people that are less fortunate or finding challenges, it just makes the world a better place. It also makes you appear more human and compassionate to employees, and they are not fearful to ask you for some help. We have new immigrants that are starting with our company, and for them it's a struggle because it's high inflation rates, it's expensive to find a place to live, transportation. So you want to ensure that that person has that safety and security, but I don't read minds. I want them to see that I'm approachable, or the managers are approachable. So the message does get to us. And by doing all these other, I call them extracurricular activities, they know that I'm a compassionate and approachable individual. So yes, it's very important to let your staff know exactly what you're doing and how you're doing it. Also to compel them to take action and various things as well.
It's very interesting that you say that, because to me, instantly, I thought of how we act as personal brands rather than corporate brands. Mm-hmm. Because, I struggled with this coming from a corporate environment when I started working for myself. I had the whole, I got to speak in, a certain tone in emails. I have to, my website can't be too frilly or too whatever. And it's funny because looking back at it now, I was just a product of the environment, but as a personal brand, which you could say that you're a personal brand, right? With your consulting, with your all your work, it just humanizes you. It just makes you be more, like you said, be more approachable. So it's very interesting that it's very much a personal brand exercise by letting other people know what you like to do, right? I like to travel. My clients know I like to travel. I have a son. They know I have a son. I'm not saying, shove it in everybody's faces of what you like to do, but it is part of you. And also when you are selling your services or your time, I find people buy from you as a person, not necessarily from
exactly
a website or a whatever the case may be. So that's a very interesting example on how you said they all kind of they're interconnected, right? Rosemary and Royal Door and Brendan's Charity and
Only Women Entrepreneurs.
Yes. So that's a very good indication of just being well-rounded, and you've been around for a long time in the business industry, and that shows because you have that confidence, right? And you have that you're intentional with what you want to do with your time, with your resources, and that comes eventually. So for anybody that's new, hang in there. That comes eventually with kind of going through these questions yourself, right?
Yes. And my advice for entrepreneurs is, you have to do something new every single day, because that gets you the experience, that gets you the confidence that you need to thrive as a business owner. I find too much on the social media where you have people selling coaching courses or mentoring and consultation. And then you look at their accomplishments and they only look good on paper. They don't have any concrete evidence that they've accomplished anything. They're good speakers, but that's about it. Whereas my personalized approach is, because I have all those experiences in my data system and in the books, I'm able to bring that in. When I do my consultation, I talk about the charity. I talk about the business and different aspects. They relate really well. And then when people, entrepreneurs, especially women, talk about family, they go, well, how do you handle family? And I go, very easily, the same like I handle everything else, that you have to be able to set boundaries. I have four adult children. Did I make time for them? Absolutely, because now they're adults, they're independent, they don't need me as much. But when they were small and they needed me to help them with their homework, or they needed me to go to pizza day and serve pizza in their classroom, I was there for them. So these are important things that women entrepreneurs need to know. And if you're struggling with those things, yeah, there's help. That's a great thing. I had help along the way over the years. Most of my mentors were men, so I didn't find as many women. But as my generation progresses into retirement, there's more women that are available out there that have proven businesses, that have a healthy family life, and they can give you all the advice you need. You don't have to do it alone.
Right. And sometimes it's not just the advice. It's just knowing somebody that has gone through these stages that really gives you the confidence to just keep going, right? Just having somebody to talk to that understand. I mean, obviously, from my experience, my friends and family are very supportive and they're very proud and they're very, you know, of everything that I'm doing. But they don't understand, like somebody like yourself or another entrepreneur, some of the things that I'm going through. So it's very important just to have that network and that opportunity to have, you know, open conversations, discussions about the struggles and the wins of a business. And, you know, and that's funny what people consider wins or not. I feel like we don't celebrate enough of our wins. We're more, I feel like we take the challenge is a lot harder than we would say, let's say, take the wins. You know, we don't make ourselves feel as good. But when you have somebody there in that network that can understand and can relate with their own experiences, I think it's the most valuable connection that you could make as an entrepreneur. So that's definitely, there is a need for people like you. I'm just gonna go do a quick intro here. For anybody that's just tuning in, you are listening to Negotiating Happiness, and I'm your host, Adriana, and we are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. I am here with Rosemary, and we are talking all about confidence building and leadership development, and her amazing entrepreneurship journey over the last 30 years. So we've covered a little bit about, you know, what it's like to have a team and what it's like, what it was like for you to go through such a male dominated industry. What makes it all worth it for you? And I'm not talking from the standpoint of being good at what you do or being good at, you know, with your team, your family, you're not. I want to know about you, Rosemary, the individual. What do you do just for yourself that makes your soul happy? You know, while you're juggling all of these different plates, what is it that kind of keeps the spark alive for you? What's your happy, I guess?
What's my happy? That's a really good question. What makes me really, really happy is helping people achieve their definition of success. So, for example, I've been working with one individual at our establishment, new immigrant, and their goal is home ownership. Okay. And I said, okay, I think I can help you out with that. And basically we sat down, we checked out the finances, we kind of like made a timeline of where the individual wanted to be at a certain point in their life. We imagined what neighborhood they want to be living in, what school their kids want to go. And for me, if I can achieve that for that individual, that's happiness for me. Now, that's a big goal, But I'm not discouraged about it because I think homeownership and stability in someone's life is so important. So anybody that is in my circle, I want to help them succeed. I want them to develop to their fullest capability and whatever abilities they have, whether they have no confidence, I want to make sure they have confidence that they can say, you know what, I have that insight, I'm going to go after it. And for me, that's what really drives me.
Yeah. And what do you, well, I mean, that's obviously amazing because that means you get a lot of satisfaction out of what you do and in the things that, you know, come along with it. So you are very involved in all of those aspects. What do you like to do just for yourself though? That's what I really want to know because we're often on service mode all the time as women.
Yes.
Right? Right? I want to know when you turn it off, I want to know what makes it worth it for you.
Well, I do have that work-life balance that everybody talks about. I have Rosemary's time. And my time is early in the morning. I purposely get up at 4:30 in the morning. And you're wondering, what on earth are you doing at 4:30 in the morning? So I do my own.
I've heard it before, though. I've heard it before, so I'm not that bewildered. But, I mean, I'm not up at 4:30, so.
And you know what? It's quiet. It's it helps me get into the present moment. And I like to meditate. And meditation helps bring clarity and focus for me. Okay. And so if I have something like a deadline or I'm feeling pressure about something, I just kind of focus on it and I get my solutions from it. So I spend about a half hour. Sometimes if it's really, really deep, if it's not so deep, it could be even a quick meditation, 10 minutes. Not every day is the same, but I at least set aside half an hour. And then what I do is I have a gym in my home and I work out because I believe, you know, having being physically fit also helps with being mentally fit. And I that point there, I like to also do swimming in the morning where I do a cold plunge, which totally gets my nervous system alert and fresh. Mm-hmm. And then just before I head off to work, I pick up a book and I read. I read a chapter of various books. Just to see what's going on. How are people thinking? I even read history books just to learn things from the past and maybe try to apply those lessons. So those things I do specifically in the morning because I have no interruption. And then I am focused, ready to go for the rest of the day.
That sounds great. And you're kind of ticking off all of the boxes, right? You know, physical, mental. And I love meditation and I do it sometimes and I wish I had more time to do it. And it does really bring a lot of focus and clarity. And I think that meditation used to get a bad rep or used to be considered more woo-woo, but there are so many scientific studies done on meditation and the benefits on that it has on the brain that I highly recommend it as well for anybody to start slow, right? Start slow and try quiet your mind out. Sometimes I use it as a stress relief, not necessarily to gain clarity, but to just pause. I just need to pause, right? Put all the devices away and just pause. It's great.
Yeah, and the best way to approach meditation, because people find it, like you said, it might be woohoo or they might be discouraged in some aspect because they said, well, I don't know where to start. And the best way to start is there's a ton of apps. This is the wonder of technology. My favorite app is Insight Timer. And they have a lot of meditation practices that are free. If you have a few bucks to spend, you can take a subscription, which doesn't cost a lot. And you can focus on specific meditation leaders and teachers. They take you through the steps of meditation, what to focus, what to build on. Because honestly, if you do it by yourself, you don't have the skill, right? And once mm-hmm. you learn the steps, you could probably learn to meditate on your own. And that's when you're going to really get the benefits from it.
Yes, it is definitely a long game type of situation. I know there's a couple of YouTube tracks that I use sometimes. So even if you don't have the app, I'm sure people have access to YouTube. One time I put it on my TV so that I could be away from my phone. And then, and funny enough, this track had a black screen. So because, you know, sometimes it's too distracting to have all that light. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is perfect. So there are ways. Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
There are ways. And then the other thing for entrepreneurs, you have to have a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding people, if you're still on the screen at 9 p.m. and you go to bed at 10, that's a big no-no. You should be off all your electronic devices 2 hours before you go to bed. Simply, it gives your brain some time to just relax and settle down. You don't want those bright lights because they just, it's like caffeine for your brain. Yeah. You don't want to be alerted just before you go to bed. So that's right. One important thing. And the other thing that helps with a good night's sleep and you feel recharged is try to have your last meal minimum 2 hours before you go to bed, because that's ample time for your digestion to kick in. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they might have a late dinner, like 9 o'clock. And again, they go to bed at 10. Well, what's your tummy you're doing? You're digesting. And it's working so hard because you're in a lying down position, yeah. And that interferes with your sleep patterns. So it's good to eat a few hours before going to bed, and you should have a restful sleep. And that way you are supercharged to start off the morning.
Yeah, they do say that if you think you have too many problems, try and take a full night's sleep and then see how many problems you have after. And it's true, because I think it, you know, being tired just overloads our nervous system, and we just don't function the same way. We don't process information in the proper way, and we just get overwhelmed. So that is very true. Sleep is very important. I did want to ask you, from the consulting background, you must work with a lot of people that have very different styles of work or leadership, right? How do you tailor your approach? How do you, and I mean, this could possibly be one of those things that can translate into clients. How do you deal with the different clients, the different ways that they work? So,
well, this is an amazing question. I'm glad you asked it. Thank you. You're right. You know, the word individual, That's the clear definition. So when you're dealing with a leader in an entrepreneurial situation, you're dealing with an individual. Right. You can't take something like maybe that I personally experienced or other clients that I work with and apply those lessons and values to that person. I start off with a client by individually assessing them. Mm-hmm. I want to know what kind of personality I'm dealing with, because I can say, you know, you have people that are calm and people that take their time and they're patient, totally different from someone that explodes at, you know, their secretary brought them a coffee and it was not to their liking, and they start screaming over a cup of coffee. So first of all, I have to analyze the person and assess what type of personality they are. That's the first step. Then the second step is I have to examine their organizational culture. Like, what is going on in their office, or if it's a warehouse, if it's a retail, it depends on the type of business. I want to hear the feedback from employees, from managers, because it gives me a clear picture whether this is a business that is united or divided. Right. So once I've done all my analysis, I also tend to look at the financial situation, the business strategy, the growth, in addition to the leader as well. Because by having as much information as possible, then I'm able to come up with a customized plan for that person. And it's basically, these are your strengths. These are things that we need to work on. Like, we all have weaknesses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's not that, oh, you have a weakness and I can't be a better person for it. No, it's a matter of identifying them and making those weaknesses into something that could be a strength down the line. So once you've identified all these things, we start working. We make a plan, and this plan has little steps. And first of all, leaders, especially entrepreneurs, they think that they have to be in charge of everything. And you got to let them know, you came to me because you have certain issues. So you're going to have to take a little bit of direction from me, and then we're going to come up with a plan, and then we're going to implement the plan. And then once we implement the plan step by step, then there's feedback. But it's not feedback only from the leader. It's from everybody involved in the organization. And sometimes that could be, you know, people in the organization that are not there to really promote the interests or the goals of the company. And I call those the cancers of the organization. And these are brought to the attention of the leader. And you say, you know what, you could be a great leader. The problem is with these individuals here. They don't share your vision. They don't share your passion. So we have to take steps to remedy that. Or it could be the other situation where I'll hear people in the establishment, and they'll say, well, she or he is totally unapproachable. You know, I'm terrified of saying anything. Well, that's not a good thing to do, because you got to open the dialogue. You have to have communication, and there has to be respect. There has to be honesty, and there can't be repercussions. If somebody digs deep and tells you how they really feel, you have to take that as not as a criticism, but as an opportunity to learn, adjust, right, and change.
Right. And that's all depending on whether they're ready to accept that, right? Sometimes people are not at that stage. So as a consultant, I'm very well aware of the same issue, right? Sometimes people are not problem aware, therefore they're not going to be very receptive to the solution either. Mm-hmm. So just depends on what stage they're at. Hopefully if they're engaging somebody like you who has to do all the background work and all the auditing, that they are ready to hear all that. And it's funny, because I think we typically get so wrapped up in what the hierarchy is, that that's when we let disconnects happen between everything. So it is very helpful to have somebody like you come in to be able to see things with a very, you know, fresh set of eyes. Because yes, maybe you've got people that don't share your vision, but you can't see that because those disconnects have already happened, right? Yes. So it is very important to have that sort of feedback. And it is important to have feedback from the top all the way to the bottom, right? The goal is to keep people happy so that they keep doing what you need them to do, right?
Yes. But it is very important. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
One thing, though, I do want to point out, when I am working with a business owner and I'm finding pushback, this is where I recommend a personal development program that I actually worked along with Tara Garrison. She is a mindset coach, nutritional coach in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And we have a 12-month program where we work on the individual. And that individual needs to really assess themselves. Mm-hmm. And the program is basically, let's grow, baby. So we have each month is dedicated to a specific theme. Just to look at the first month, it's basically to listen. And then each week we break it down so that we work on specific aspects of listening. And how do you hone in on your listening skills? We teach you how to meditate. We teach you to get in touch with your inner self, to understand things. Because I think everybody has some sort of deep-rooted issue that happened in the past that has become sort of like a trauma. It could have been your third grade teacher screaming at you because back in my day, we used to do cursive and it wasn't neat enough. Or it could have been an aunt or it could have been a parent. And you've kind of internalized that and you use that trauma to direct your life and how you are a business owner and leader. And that is a major obstacle that we work to overcome so that it clears your barriers and you have open communication with your staff and you become more approachable and we're able to work at a more flowing state with you.
It's very, very important. And I feel like a lot of people do struggle with that to become exactly what you've described. So time flew by as per usual and we have a couple of minutes and I want you to tell us kind of what's on the horizon for you, what projects you're working on or where you want to direct everybody.
Well, by popular demand, I always like to hear feedback from people just to give us some sort of direction. I'm just going to start with Royal Door Limited. We are planning a massive expansion of the business and it comes from succession. That's something that I also talk about in my consulting services that, you know what, you should have an exit strategy. You don't want to do your business forever. When you've accomplished a certain level, then succession is what you should think of. And the succession comes from my four adult children who decided that they wanted to open a new chapter in the company's history. And that means offering more products and services. So we've secured other locations and they will be opening up another area of manufacturing and distribution and sales at the end of April, so this month. So we're looking very forward to that. The other thing that we're working on is with Only Women Entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. And your podcast. We didn't mention
my podcast. Yes, our podcast. So with the podcast, we're kind of like switching gears. A lot of people are very intrigued, listening more about business tips and just answering questions about dealing with daily problems. So we're going to start switching a little bit of our focus to answer those questions, provide some more direction. And from that, we are going to organize and host a speaker series where it will be virtually so that we have people joining in on calls from all over the world and they're able to ask questions with business experts, not just but myself, but other people that I know in various industries. And that way you can have answers to your questions. You can attend. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. And it won't cost an arm and a leg as it would if you're going somewhere on site. And finally, for the charity Brandon's Eye Research Foundation, we are just gearing up a promotional campaign to enlist monthly donors. So for $5 a month for a membership to our Vision Club, which ensures that critical research happens and that we are able to save vision in children. So we want to see if people have some extra change to, rather than spend it on a Starbucks, that they would think about supporting eye research, because the eye research that we do actually benefits people worldwide. The research projects are actually published in medical journals, and the doctors here in Toronto gladly go to various places worldwide to teach the techniques that they were able to learn and practice from the research that we funded. So those are things at the moment that we are presently working on, and I hope our audience would be able to partake in any of those that they like, or all of them.
That's amazing. I love all of the, all of everything that's happening. You're doing so much, Rosemary. You're doing so much.
And I love it. I wouldn't want any less.
Exactly. So if you guys want to check out Rosemary, I've pasted some of the links in the comments as well, so you can just click directly on them. Or you can find her at onlywomenentrepreneurs.com and follow her on Instagram. It's the same handle as well. And I can't thank you enough for coming on here. I feel like we could have filled probably another 2 hours of content here. So thank you so much, Rosemary.
It was my pleasure. And thank you for having me here to discuss all my initiatives. And I hope I helped your audience. And if they have any questions, please reach out to me. I'd love to get a conversation started.
Amazing. Yes. So we've got all the links in here. Even if people are listening to it after, you'll find the links in the description as well. So this is great. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and we are gearing up for another episode next week. And again, thank you so much, Rosemary. I can't imagine how many more shows we could have done
based on, oh, you know what, I can come back for a series of shows, you know, like,
yes, it doesn't, let's come back, please.
We can come back and do some more. Absolutely. I really enjoyed it, because like you said, we just did a tip of the iceberg for leadership,
just bits and pieces, right? Bits and pieces.
Yes.
So thank you all for tuning into the show. Thank you to everyone in the chat room, and a big thank you to the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. I enjoyed being on the show.